We live in a time and in a culture, and this isn't news to you, this is just true. We live in a time where everything is right now, everything's really fast. I need faster internet, and I need faster Wi-Fi to be at my phone, and I need Amazon to get to my house faster, and I've got all these notifications, and life just seems to just to be hurried up, and I'm guilty of that because I want life to hurry. I want, you know, when Amazon is like a day delayed, it's like a crisis at our house for some reason. I don't know. You know, we used to have JCPenney catalogs, and some of you guys don't even know what that is. JCPenney catalogs, there's these things, that, there's this stuff called paper, and you would get it in the mail, and you would look through it, and you'd send in an order form, and now it's all on the internet, and man, if it's a day late, we're just wrecked by it. Constant notifications, right? Like we have to remind people to silence their cell phones because it's just constant dinging. We see it in our schools. They're trying to kind of pull back that a little bit and taking the kids' phones from them because it's just constant noise and constant interruptions. I mean, you've got bills that are due. You've got work deadlines and work wants you to do the job of two people. And it's just go, go, go. You know, if you're in our season of life with my wife and I, we've got kids that need to be places and they need to be at two places. And they need to be at places that are in different time zones at the same time. And it's just a crazy, crazy life. But here's what you also know is true, is that there's all these things that seem really, really urgent. I've got to do it right now. But in the scheme of things and in the long run, if we're honest, a lot of those things aren't really that important. That the urgent things are rarely important. Now, sometimes they are. But urgent things, man, I got to do that, and I've got to switch that laundry, and I've got to get those kids there, and I've got to do this. They're important in the moment, but long-term, in the scheme of things, they're not that important. But the important things, the things, go back to that last slide, the important things are rarely urgent. So, like, your marriage is important, but it's not that urgent. You don't get a notification on your phone from your spouse that says, hey, we're kind of drifting and falling apart. Your body doesn't always give you a signal that says, hey, we're not that healthy. It's just not urgent. Now, it's very important, but it's just not urgent. The same is true with our relationship with God, is that we can get so focused on these urgent things, I've got to keep moving, I've got to keep pressing forward, I've got to keep doing more, that we do all of these things, and all of a sudden I wake up one day and I realize, man, my relationship with God, I haven't changed my belief system, and I haven't changed that I love God. I just feel like I'm a little bit distant. I feel a little bit disconnected. And so what we're going to kind of look at today is a verse of scripture and a story that you're very, very familiar with. But here's the big idea, is that the things that demand your attention, hey, you've got to do it right now, are rarely the things that deserve your attention the most. So sometimes some urgent things are not that important, but the important things, if we neglect them long enough, they suddenly do become urgent. Like if you neglect your health for long enough, suddenly it does become urgent because you're in the ER and the doctor's saying, hey, we've really got to fix this. If you neglect your important marriage long enough, it does become urgent because they say, hey, I'm leaving, and you show up one day and they're packing up the stuff, and then all of a sudden those things become urgent. So let me just ask you, just as kind of a trial, just to see if we're all on the same page. What did you do 2 weeks ago? Two weeks ago, remember how stressed you were and how worn out you were? What was it that you did? And was it that important? Now, in the moment, I know that it felt so, so urgent. I've got to. But isn't it true, with the gift of time and a little bit of perspective and a little bit of space, the thing that in that moment was, man, I'm losing sleep and I just can't hardly figure out how I'm going to all get it done. Now, a little bit later, it's like, oh, maybe it wasn't that important after all. Those things that you rushed to do and you said, I've got to get this to-do list, is it that important now going into the future? For most of us, we can't really probably remember most of it, but in the moment, it all seems so important. So here's the big idea of today, and then we're going to read Luke chapter 10. It's easy, the temptation for all of us. I'm in this because I'm busy. We got a lot going on. It's easy to build a life around things that matter right now while neglecting the things that matter forever. And so that's exactly where Luke is going to take us. There's a story of two sisters. If you've been in Bible study, if you've grown up in church, you've heard this story before. It's a story of Mary and Martha. And here's what it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Why they, this is Jesus and his disciples, were traveling. He entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed her into her home. So Martha is this person that loves having people in her home. She's very hospitable. She wants to make things comfortable for everybody. And she had a sister named Mary, not the mother of Jesus, Mary, but just a sister. She had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. Now, I want you just to imagine. I know some of you know the end of the story, but I want you to pretend that you didn't. What would you do if you heard that Jesus was coming to your house? Right? Like, wouldn't your house be spotless? And you would come up with the best meal. I mean, I like when people, we, Brandy and I don't have people to our house all that terrible often. But man, when somebody, if you came over to my house, that house would be spotless. And we would cook food, and we would try to do it. We wanted to be hospitable to you. We want to make our house look like nobody lives there because there's people coming over. So let's make sure. They might check if there's dust on the dustboards. Let's make sure it's all perfectly clean. So that's what Martha's doing, and you would do the same thing. If Jesus was coming to your house, you would make sure that he is comfortable. Verse number 40 says, but Martha, so Mary was listening, but Martha was, here's our word, she was just distracted by her many tasks. All of these things that are important and good and they should be happening, Martha was just so distracted by these. I mean, there's people in my house and they need taken care of and I need to make sure their water cup's filled and all of these things. And so Martha is not choosing between an evil thing and a good thing. She's choosing between two good things. It's good to serve Jesus. It's good to make people comfortable in your home. Mary, it's good to sit at Jesus' feet. But Martha has all this internal frustration happening, and she's consumed by all these things that are going on right now that she's lost sight. She does what we do. I've lost sight of things that are more important in the long run. Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up, and she interrupted Jesus. She says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Now, I would feel the same way, and probably so would you. If you're rushing around the house trying to get things ready and trying to make things comfortable and doing all the things that you could, and you see somebody else just kind of sitting and chilling and hanging out, or if you're getting the house ready for company and your husband is watching ESPN and just kind of chilling and the kids are doing their own thing, here's what you're going to start to feel frustrated. You're going to start to feel that same tension that Martha felt. And so she interrupts Jesus and says, hey, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to give me a hand. Jesus, I know that you're teaching things that are extraordinary. I know that you're telling the story of God and the kingdom of God, but I need you to stop doing what you're doing, and instead, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to tell my sister to help me. Just a question as you kind of think about it. Have you ever given God advice? You ever said, you know, I've decided what my life looks like and needs to look like, and so God, if you could just get on board with my plan, that would sure be great. Here's what my family needs, and here's what success looks like, and so I fill my calendar, and I have all the plans, and I have it all going on, and so I take this idea to Jesus, and I say, Jesus, I really need your help with all of these things that I filled my calendar with. And if you don't kind of do it quickly, then I'm going to start to get frustrated. And we think, and sometimes we can convince ourselves, well, I'm following Jesus. Because after all, I am praying and I do some religious things and I go through some religious routines. But really, at the end of the day, what we're asking is the same thing Martha asked. I want you to do my bidding for me. I want you to get on board with what I've got going on. I want you to get on board with all of the plans that I've already made. And so my invitation, I just want to invite you to consider that following Jesus, what that really looks like is not religious routine and going through the moments. It's asking Jesus, what is it that matters the most? I don't want you to just get on board with my priorities. I don't want you to just get on board with, hey, help me and be the person that makes my life smoother. I want you to be the one that gets to decide what's important and what kind of gets pushed to the background. What should I be pursuing and what should I be pulling back from? What should I be spending more time on in this season of my life and what should I be kind of leaning back from, that following Jesus means he's the one that gets to decide, here's what matters the most. There's all sorts of things that matter. You're busy, we've got a lot going on. There's all sorts of things that really are important. They're not sinful, they're not evil, they're not bad, but only one thing can be number one. Only one thing can be the most important. In spite of all the important things that you have going on, there's only one thing that can be most important. And so what we have to do is just be honest with ourselves and ask, have I allowed my own priorities to push Jesus out? And I haven't changed my belief system and I haven't stopped loving Jesus. I've just kind of started to fit him into the gaps of my life while I pursue these other things that I have going on. And so verse number 41, Jesus looks at her and I think he's just compassionate. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. Just pause right there. If Jesus came and had a coffee with you, would that be a similar thing that he would say? You're worried and you're just upset about all these things, and they're good things and they're important things, but they're just not the most important things. And you've gotten so focused, and I've gotten so focused on these momentary things that in a couple weeks are not going to matter, that you've lost sight of what mattered the most. That we worry about the next thing, and we worried about the thing that hasn't happened, and we're upset about the reason that it didn't happen. We're worried and upset about all these other things, and meanwhile, Jesus is in the other room. And he invites us, you can be with me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Being focused on things that matter less inevitably will lead us to being worried and upset. How many of us, if we're honest, we're driving ourselves crazy. We're not sleeping at night. We have to be medicated. The people around us are being driven crazy by our go, 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 go. I've got all of these things going, and I'm worried, and I'm upset. And Jesus isn't mad at you, but he does invite you to something better. He says this in verse number 42, one thing is necessary. He doesn't say none of this other stuff matters. Of course it matters. Dinner matters, and having a clean house matters, and hospitality matters, and taking care of people, that matters. But Jesus is saying there's only one thing that's necessary, because here's what's true. The house is going to get dirty again. People are going to get hungry again. But there's only this moment of time where Jesus is sitting in Mary and Martha's living room. And so Jesus is just inviting them to have a reality check. Many things are important. Of course it's important, but there's something that's most important. But it's never urgent. It's never urgent. Urgent is the notifications, and I've got to go, and I've got to go, and I've got to accomplish, and I've got to do more, and I've got to achieve more. It will never be urgent to spend time with Jesus, but Jesus said this, it's the one thing that is necessary. We say, I've got to do this, and I've got to accomplish, and my kids have to have, and if I don't, then maybe I won't achieve all the dreams that I had. And Jesus just invites us to just consider, is all of it really necessary? Have all of these important things in our life driven out the most important thing? Again, just asking you to wrestle with some questions, just asking you to be honest with yourself. Who or what is determining what's the most important thing in your life? Because busyness has a driver. And this constant going, it has a driver. Who's determining who you have to keep up with? Maybe for some of us, if we're honest, we don't want to say this out loud, but if we're honest, we're trying to impress people. We're trying to look better on the outside than we really are. So I'm trying to prove somebody wrong. Somebody said you'll never make it. And you said, well, I'll show them. And so we just have that driver. And Jesus invites us just to slow down. And he says, hey, is the things that you're pursuing really the most important thing? Just imagine the next day between Mary and Martha. They went out to the market and Jesus had left and had went on his way. And they went to the market, and they were talking to their friends. They said, we heard Jesus was at your house. And here's what Mary could have said. Yeah, and I just listened, and he told me things that I've never heard before, and my life is changed because of the things that I heard Jesus say, and I'm going to remember it forever. And they say, wow, it's so amazing. Martha, what did you do? I didn't hear it because I was just busy. I was cooking and I was cleaning and the meal was awesome, but now people are hungry again. And the house was so clean, but now it's dirty again. What ended up being the most important? What did Jesus say? One thing is necessary, and Mary has made the right choice because it's always a choice. Your busyness, my busyness, it's a choice. We have to be honest with ourselves, and we say, I don't have to do everything that I'm trying to do. Mary has made the right choice, and it's not going to be taken away from her. Urgent was in the kitchen. I've got to do right now, but important was in the living room. And if, again, just inviting us to be honest, oftentimes I'm so aware of the urgent things in my life that I pursue, and all of a sudden I realize the important things, the things that are going to last forever, the things that are going to give long-term results, they're nowhere to be found in my life, but these are the things that nobody can take away. Much of what consumes our life, isn't it true? Much of what consumes our life has an expiration date. There's going to be another deadline. There's going to be another activity. And again, they're all good things. We're all busy. I'm just asking us to consider, are they the most important things? And if you're honest, have you pursued all of these other things at the expense of just spending time with Jesus? So let me just say it 1,000% as clear as I can. If you're too busy to spend time with your Heavenly Father, what exactly are you too busy doing? Well, what is it that's more important and driving out and driving you away from time with the Father, and will it be worth it in the end? Because if I'm too busy to spend time with the Creator of the universe, I've lost perspective somewhere. I've put off something important, and I've pursued all of these urgent things, and I've chosen something temporary, but it's come at the expense of something that's eternal. It's come at the expense of something that's more important. So it would be easy. See, here's what we could do. I could turn this into a sermon of, hey, you need to have better time management, and you need to turn off your phone, and you wake up 30 minutes early, and you need to get into a devotional, and those are all good and true, and there might be some practical things that you need to do, because I could kind of drive up the guilt. I could make you feel really bad because you're not doing a good job, and you could leave here guilty and say, okay, I'm really going to work on it. I'm really going to try my best, but here's what we all know, because we've all tried New Year's resolutions. That's going to fade pretty quick. I can make you feel bad, and you can, for this week, you can really put in the time, and yep, you're right, Kyle, I have pursued urgent things over important things, and so this week, I'm setting my alarm 30 minutes earlier, and I'm going to delete some apps off my phone, and I'm going to get into my YouVersion Bible app, and all those things are good, and maybe should some of those, but that just guilt, if that's your driver, that's going to fade pretty quickly. But what the Apostle Paul shows us in Philippians chapter 3 is there's something that's better. There's something that will help this to be not just this flash in a pan, I'm inspired for a little while, and then I get consumed back with life. He says, what you have to do is not feel something guilty. You've got to get your perspective up a little bit higher. So here's what Philippians chapter 3 says. Paul starts with his resume. He starts with, this is the pedigree that I have. Although, we're starting in verse number 4. Although I have reasons for confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. So he's saying, hey, I was a better Jew than you were. That's what he's trying to say. Like, if you want to go toe-to-toe with who has the better resume, I'm going to win that 10 times out of 10. And then he gives a list. I'm going to just make it clear for you. I was circumcised on the eighth day. The nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. Regarding the law, I was a Pharisee. Regarding zeal, I persecuted the church. Regarding righteousness that is in the law, I was blameless. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, I've got it going on. I knew what it was. I was an impressive guy. And for the outside, people would look at Paul, that guy's winning. That guy's doing all the right things. And you have a list that sounds similar to that. That I have a list that sounds similar to that, that we say, well, the reason that I'm successful is because I've got this money in the bank, or I do this, or my kids got into this college, and I've got these things, and the reason that I'm so busy is I've just driven. We all have a list of things that make us feel I'm doing okay. I'm maybe not as good as I want to be, but I'm better than I used to be. We have a list of things that make it feel like I'm okay. And in order to keep that up, that's the driver of my busyness. But then the Apostle Paul says, I've got all of these things, and everybody looked at me as though I was, you know, I had it going on. Go to that next slide. But everything, all this list of things that was a gain to me, man, it was impressive. I did have that. I have considered, I've decided to be a loss. Why? Because of Christ. Paul doesn't say these things were never valuable. He had built his life around them. He had spent years and years and years pursuing them. And then on one moment, on one day, on a road towards Damascus, he encountered Christ. And all of a sudden, when he encountered Christ, all of these things that he had elevated and all of these things that had gotten so important and all of these things that to his mind, this is what I have to drive my life towards, oh, they pale in comparison. Verse number 8. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value. I just want to know Jesus Christ, my Lord. You see, Paul's life was reordered, not because he suddenly got inspired and not because he felt guilty about all these other things that he was pursuing. Paul's life was reordered because he found something and someone of surpassing value. Guilt will only take you so far, but once you discover there is someone that has invited me into relationship with him, and he has invited me to commune and be part and not just have this religious routine and go through the motions, that he has invited me to be with him, I start to reorder my life. Mary did the same thing. Mary saw there's something better in the living room than the thing that's in the kitchen. There is a surpassing value. All the things are important, but there's one thing that's most important. That's why guilt will never be enough to reorder your life, because it will soon fade. I could tell you, you need to spend more time praying. You need to do better. There's a better value. There is someone who has invited you into relationship. I cannot sustain a reordered life by just feeling guilty about a disordered one. The only way for this to stick, the only way for this to matter, is if something like Paul becomes more important. Paul says, I found something of surpassing value. All of these things that I was pursuing that I thought were so important, what I discovered when I held it up next to Christ is that it was fool's gold. It looked good on the outside, but then on closer investigation, it wasn't able to hold up the weight of my life. And then I encountered Jesus. And all of those things, they were fine and they were good and they looked impressive, but they didn't have anything to compare with Jesus. More than that, let me read it again. More than that, I consider everything to be lost in view of the surpassing value of, here's our word, of knowing. See, the only way for this to work is that if you step away from religious routine and just going through the motions, and you decide, I want to not know about Christ Jesus, my Lord, I want to know him. Not simply know some facts and know some, and I want to be in relationship, and there's no shortcut to this. This doesn't happen from 10:15 to 11:15 on a Sunday morning. It takes more than that. This can't happen just because you walked in the room. We can help, and we can try to give you some tools, but you have got to decide there is something that is waiting for me on the other side of putting away some less important things and just spending time with Jesus Christ, my Lord, and it's surpassing value. That following Jesus is not adding him to an already crowded life. It's not trying to figure out when can I give him 15 minutes here and I'm going to put off some plans here so that it's not about adding it. It's saying, I want Jesus to reorder this life that I've already had. Because if Jesus really does become of surpassing value to our life, let me just give you a heads up. Here's what's going to happen. He's going to start to put a finger on some different things in your life. And he's going to say, this good thing here has gotten out of order. And it's pushed out the most important thing. And he's going to start to invite us, hey, in this season of your life, you can't pursue that. In this season of your life, this isn't the right time. Not because it's evil or bad or sinful. It's just taken this place that it was never supposed to. And that's when we discover once and for all, does Jesus actually have surpassing value in my life? Or is he just something that I've added to a life that I'm trying to build? Paul said it this way in verse number 10, my goal, I just want to know him. I just want to know him. And if I have to lose everything else, if I know him, I'll have gained everything. I don't have anything left to prove. I don't have to prove anything to anybody else. I just want to know Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to earn him. I'm not trying to get him to like me. I'm not trying to earn his love. I have Christ, and now the pursuit of my life is to know Jesus Christ. And the more that I know him, the more I want to know him. The more I'm encountered with him, the more I want to encounter him. And so the question for your life and the question for my life is not necessarily, how do I become less busy? Now that might be something that you need to consider. Maybe you are too busy. That's not as good of a question though. Because again, there's always going to be things that drive your life, and there's going to be opportunities to add more to your life. And so the question is not necessarily, how do I become less busy? The question I want you to wrestle with as you go into your week is, does the way that I've ordered my life reflect the value that I say Jesus has? Because all of us know the Sunday school answer. All of us say, yep, Jesus is number one in my life. Yep, absolutely, I follow Jesus. Let me just ask you, does your schedule know that? Does your calendar look like Jesus is number one in your life? Do your priorities look like Jesus has surpassing value in your life? And then if you recognize, like oftentimes I've recognized, man, I've allowed some good things to pursue out the most important thing, then you've got to ask this question. What is worth holding on to if it keeps me from following Jesus? What is so important in the kitchen that it keeps me from just being with Jesus in the living room? Mary thought, all of these things are necessary. I've got to go. I've got to do more. Jesus said, no, only one thing is necessary, and it's not going to be taken away from her. Paul spent years accumulating and striving and going further and harder than anybody else, and he had one encounter with Christ, and he says there's a surpassing value. There's a lot of things in your life. I get it. There's a lot of things in our life that need and demand our attention. They're always going to be things that are urgent. What Jesus invites us to is, I want to be the most important. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added to you. What does following Jesus look like? Following Jesus does not look like attending a gathering like this. That can absolutely be part of it, and it's an important part of it, and I hope you come back. But this, in and of itself, is not necessarily following Jesus. Following Jesus looks like I'm going to let him reorder my life. I'm going to let him point out some things in my life. That's gotten too big. That's gotten too important. That's taking up too much time, and it's pulling you away from the most important thing. And following Jesus looks like obeying him when he just kind of points him at me and says, Kyle, is this the right season for that? Is this the right time for you to be pursuing that? It's not a no forever, but right now in this season, when you've got a junior and a freshman and a fourth grader, is that really how you need to be spending your time? Do you really need to invest so much time and energy into that in this moment? And so my invitation to you this morning is just, this week, here's your homework. I want you to memorize just these few little lines of Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. My goal is to know him. What would your life change if that really was your goal? I just want to know Jesus Christ, my Lord. I want him to become surpassing value in my life. I want him, if he wants to reorder some things, I want to let him do it. And we may be found that our increasing goal is to know, I just want to be with Jesus, because I know that with him, there's things that I can't get anywhere else. All this peace that I'm pursuing is found in Jesus. And the strength that I need, it's found in Jesus. And the wisdom that I've been seeking, it's found in Jesus. The things that I need most in life, it's not found in the pursuit of more and more and more. It's in the pursuit of, I just want to be with Jesus. Why don't you stand as we pray for you this morning? Heavenly Father, I'm asking that our congregation, that we would make it our goal to know you. Lord, there's all these things in our life that want our attention, and there's all these things that drive us. But Lord, I'm praying that we would be willing to let you reorder our life, that we would be like Mary, and we just want to spend time. We would be like Paul, and that we would say, I found something of surpassing value, and that would be the priority of our life. Lord, I know that it's hard, because there's so many demands, and there's so many things that are going on. And so, Lord, I'm praying that the Spirit of God would speak to us this week, that we would be willing to listen. If you point out some things, and if you put your finger on some things, that we would be willing to pull back on some things. We would be willing to pursue harder some things, because we're allowing you to reorder our life. We don't want to be driven by guilt. We don't want to be driven by other people. We don't want to be driven by the expectations of others. We want to be driven by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is of surpassing value. Give us the faith to do what we need to do with your word today. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.